As daar 'n beroep of selfs 'n tema is wat uitgestaan het in 2020, is dit die rol van ons gesondheidswerkers. Hulle opoffering en hulle bydrae en soveel keer sonder dat ons ooit sal weet wat hulle by hulle eie huise moes hanteer. Veruska Weyers is al meer as 12 jaar lank 'n verpleegster en het haar passie in die neonatale intensiewe eenheid ontdek waar sy met babas werk wat te vroeggebore is, asook ander pediatriese pasiënte in ICU. In haar werk het sy al soveel keer gesien hoe die geboorte of dood van 'n kind 'n gesin se lewe ingrypend verander en daarom het sy nog altyd gevoel haar eie uitdagings is niks in vergelyking met dit waardeur hierdie gesinne moet gaan nie. Tot sy onlangs haarself op 'n plek bevind het waar sy nie meer haar eie pyn en swaar kry kan wegsteek nie. Haar pa is amper 30 jaar gelede met emfyseem gediagnoseer. Nou hy so 8 jaar terug sy eerste beroerte gehad het, het sy gesondheid ongelukkig net meer en meer agteruit gegaan. Hy was permanent op suurstof en gereeld in en uit die hospitaal met longinfeksie. En so het Veruska se ouers ook by haar kom woon. Op die 28ste April hierdie jaar het hy in die badkamer in mekaar gesak. Die volgende dag het sy longe platgeval en hulle moes 'n keuse maak. Plaas hom op 'n ventilator of staan die kans om hom te verloor. Nou, dit klink na 'n maklike keuse, behalwe dat pasiënte in die finale fase van emfyseem regtig sukkel om van 'n ventilator af te kom en erge neeweffekte kan beleef. Hulle het toestemming gegee in 'n poging om sy lewe te spaar. Dit was alles tydens lockdown. Sy familie kon hom nie sien nie. Met sy verjaarsdag in die hospitaal is hulle toegelaat om 15 minute by hom te wees. Nou is hy al meer as 6 maande lank in die hospitaal. Ja, hulle sukkel om hom van die ventilator af te kry. Hy het nog nie met iemand gepraat nie, vandat hy in die hospitaal is nie, want hy het 'n tragie en hy kry ook nou buisvoedings. Hy is maar, hy is baie swak en omdat hy nie kan beweeg of loop nie, kry hy ook aanhoudend infeksie in sy longe. Intussen doen Veruska alles in haar vermoë om haar pa sterk genoeg van die ventilator af en by die huis te kry by sy familie, sodat sy soveel as moontlik tyd met hom kan spandeer in sy laaste dae. Maar sy moet ook haar gesin versorg en die opgehoopte rekeninge betaal en werk soms tot 14 dae se nagskofte aan een. Ons is op die oomblik buitekant Veruska se huis waar sy woon, saam met haar twee klein kindertjies in graad 1 en graad 2, ook haar ma, en sy dink ons kom 'n insetsel doen oor ons gesondheidswerkers en hoe hulle 2020 beleef het, maar ons hoop om ook so 'n bietjie goeie nuus vir haar te kan bring vir hierdie Kersfees. Leandre, ek wil by jou begin, want jy het ons vertel van Veruska. Waar het julle paaie gekruis en hoe het jy haar leer ken?
Veruska was een van ons nagverpleegsters in 'n 4 maande bitter moeilike pad met my seentjie in die hospitaal.
Beskryf vir ons 'n bietjie hoe sy julle gesin help dra het aan julle las in daai moeilike tyd en net wat sy vir julle beteken het in daai tyd.
Veruska is een van daai mense, haar werk is nie net vir haar werk nie, dis absoluut 'n passie en sy hanteer elke klein lyfie asof dit haar eie lyfie is. Ons kon haar enige tyd gekontak het in die oggendure en sy was daar en sy het antwoorde gehad en sy het ons laat beter voel en moed ingepraat en ja, haar liefde is net daar is die einde nie.
Ek vra nou 'n moeilike vraag, maar net sodat ons mense ook die konteks verstaan, dit wat jou seentjie hanteer het en dit waarmee sy vir julle bygestaan het.
My seentjie is met 'n baie rare genetiese afwyking gebore, dat sy breintjie nie ten volle ontwikkel het nie. En dit is terminaal, so sy was ons hele pad by ons gewees, die 4 maande.
Veruska, when you hear Leandre just testify about who you are and your character and all those extra miles, what does that mean to you? But to hear someone say, you really touched our family's lives and our hearts and you played an important part and you still do.
I don't really feel like it. I just feel like it's something I do. It's just, I don't know. Like if it was my child lying there, I'd like the best for them. So I try and do the same for them. But it's not, I don't know. And when they say you do too much, or you save my child, or you, I'm like, I didn't do anything. I was just part of it. So I think God does the rest, and He chooses His path.
We know the sacrifice that you make in the long hours, and we appreciate that. But I don't think we really understand what you face when you get home. So 2020 has also been a very difficult year for you personally.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your dad.
So in April 2020, the 28th, my dad collapsed in the bathroom. And we found that his lung collapsed, which they didn't notice. And he's been in there since 28th of April. He's been in hospital on a ventilator. We can't get him off. And three times we've had to decide whether or not we're going to stop treatment, which has been very difficult, obviously. But each time that we decide, okay, now's the end, we're gonna stop, because we just feel like we're torturing him. He comes back and he survives and he starts fighting again, and then he gets sick pretty much every week. So 1 week's a good week, 1 week's a bad week. And then, it's really been a hard time financially and physically and emotionally for me to cope.
Now, as I understand, they can't do any further tests because he's not strong enough. They can't send him to a rehab. So what do you need to be able to take care of him at home, to have him here with your family in the last days that you have with him?
Unfortunately, at this moment, we couldn't possibly take him home because he had a setback again. We don't have the necessary, like, even the facilities would have to be an ICU facility, because we need ventilator machines and things like that, and we need sisters to look after him, and it's not viable to bring him home, and it's not safe actually for him. His immunity is so low that if he had to just pick up the slightest flu, it would kill him. And so, at this moment, bringing him home isn't an option. He needs rehabilitation, so the physiotherapists are trying to get him up, trying to give him strength, trying to do exercises. But if he doesn't want to, then my dad's pretty stubborn. He just won't move. So he just lies there, pretty much.
Our Yeomens and Mames project is about a small gesture. We come and we just want to show you the love that you've showed for Leandri and her family, that you showed to so many families in the ICU ward. And this is our gesture, if you want to take it out and read it.
I don't know, I'm really scared. Would you like me to read it out loud?
Yes.
As a token of our appreciation as a community, we want to assist you in your efforts to help your father. On behalf of our friends, sorry, is it Solganix? And Creative M95s. Yeah, Mensa, my Mensa project. We hope that this donation of 20,000 rand, oh God, will get you help. Sorry.
I'll just take over. We hope that this donation of 20,000 rand will somehow assist with whatever need you have to get your dad perhaps home for Christmas, to be able to spend some quality time with him, whether it's for a physiotherapist, whether it's for a caretaker to be with him at home. It's just a token to say thank you for how you've given your life as a health worker to so many other families, and that we see it and we appreciate it, and we hope that this will make your burden a little bit lighter.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Leandri, man, thank you.